This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher, along with the lovely round eyebrowed Mary Goulet and Rich O'Tay hanging tight there in the corner. What's up, man?
Oh, jeez. Which mic are you on?
There you go. See, now you got it. Mary Goulet, hey!
Yay!
You're looking quite lovely today.
Thank you.
You didn't just come from a funeral, did you? It's like you got this black thing
I
going.
Do. No, it's just a...
It's just the day. I don't know. My wife's a funeral director. I see,
that's
you know, whenever
true.
I see people dressed up in all black, I think somebody died. It's like, that's just kind of how
it's
I roll.
But it has bling.
It does have bling. It's black with
so
bling.
So I'm happy they died.
Exactly. We are celebrating your death. Oh, my goodness. All right. Quick. Let's do a quick round robin. Highlight of the week. This is Thursday, January 28th of 2016. Highlight of the week. What was it? Go. Highlight. What's happened so far since the last time we saw you here on Reinvention Radio? Something really exciting.
Rich is first.
Rich, go.
Exciting
you
stuff?
You shaved your beard.
Oh, my God. He's so handsome.
I know. And you look like 12
Get
years
on the
old
camera.
Now, man.
I know. And the day we're not on Blab, and so now they can see how good it looks. But
that's
no,
funny.
I'm just super stoked in the world of live streaming that Periscope, actually now you can Wi-Fi from your GoPro. Mm.
I thought you were going to say your garage.
Action,
that would be cool.
Action sports is going to go off here on Periscope pretty soon. So.
Yeah, I bet. And look, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday and they kind of gave me that like weird look. That happens to me a lot. I don't know if you can imagine, but that actually does happen to me quite often where I'm talking to somebody and they give me that weird look. So I was talking to this person about live streaming, and let's be honest here. I mean, technology over the years has gotten mainstream because of one specific industry. What is that industry? Let's think about technology over the years. What made the VCR?
Oh, porn.
Porn.
Oh,
right?
Brother, we're back on that.
Well, of course
How
we are.
How does he have every opportunity in the world? He just, bam, he's going to bring up porn.
It's not Steve's opportunity.
No,
it's porn's opportunity.
I didn't make this stuff up.
Yeah,
I'm
he's like, just
I'm not the first
well,
one.
Thank you for being their PR spokesperson.
Right.
Jeez.
I'm not the first one to report on porn, but here's my question. And I was talking to this guy, and he was basically like, okay, well, what's this Periscope thing? What's this Meerkat thing? What's this Blab thing, et cetera? And I told him what it is, and he's like, that seems kind of interesting, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, look, reality is it's going to hit the mainstream when porn gets into it. It's just what ends up happening. So my question, and Rich, I mean, you're really on the front lines of all this stuff.
Of porn?
Of porn.
Maybe both.
I couldn't resist.
Oh, man, that's funny. Technically not on the front lines of porn, if anything.
But
you would
with
be
that
in the,
new beard.
With that new beard, right?
Yeah.
Should we know something here, man? Is there something going on?
No.
All right, so what is Meerkat or Periscope or Blab or one of the – are they going to allow it? Are they going to allow people to – I mean, because is it going to be Big Brother? Like, are they going to be able to come in and say, you can't broadcast that?
They're working on – I don't know the specific exact inside of how they're going to do it, but there's certain words they're going to block for trolls. There's certain things they're going to do. If I think they're going to leave those settings up to the broadcaster, though.
So, kind of like your own TV.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
Exactly. So, because like right now it's already happening. There's bots jumping on. You know, I go to bed at night and there's five new porn bots that have logged in, not logged in, but followed me on Periscope hoping that I'll follow back.
Oh, I get it.
You know, you can see they got like 10,000 followers or they're following 10,000 people, but they only have one follower.
It's like the gamification of it. Interesting. All right. You know, and that's kind of like, does it give the technology a bad rap? Like, or does it give people the opportunity to then have just more choices about how to use the technology?
Well, I don't think it's, I mean, Tinder, that's, you know, a bad That could have a bad rap, but people use it all the time, and who knows what they're posting on with those photos.
I don't know, because like when you go online right now, and there are plenty of sites that are not gated at all. Not gated
like
at
Snapchat?
All. Well, no, I'm thinking more Snapchat. On sort of on the porn side of the
on
equation.
The
here.
My Lord, we're still on porn.
We are still on porn because ultimately I think that porn has the ability to really put live streaming on the map. You know, because again, it's that whole we're really in that early adopter phase right now, and I'm all about early adoption. Right? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love being on that cutting edge. I know you do, Rich. I know, Mary, you like, you know, kind of dancing and playing in that space as well. Now that you're learning about it, you know, it's kind of fun and funky for you. And you're using it with some of your own radio stuff as well, and even some of your real estate stuff. But when porn seems to get involved in specific industries, that's when the numbers start to explode.
Yeah.
So
I think they're doing it right now, but just with private scopes. So, like, they'll
that's a Periscope thing.
Periscope.
You can do
private.
A private Periscope.
You can do private, and then, you know, who knows? They could be like, oh, PayPal me this, and...
Well, see, and, but that already is... there's another platform, and I told you about it a while ago, and I'll find the name of it, because I actually have it on my phone somewhere, but there is a... Not that I've used it or anything, I just... I heard...
the Grindr one you were talking about?
No, not that app. The other app.
Did you see me look at you
the other
sideways.
App, not that one, but it's Hang With. That's the one. Hang With. I told you about that, right?
No, I've never heard of that one.
Well, I told Rich, and so I'll tell you now. So it's called Hang With, and it's like another sort of live cast, live stream, whatever sort of thing. It's pretty cool. But what you can do is you can actually sell tickets, right? So the performers, so to speak, whoever they are, I mean, whatever they are monetizing their broadcast. And I think that's, and I hear you, man, loud and clear. So if you're doing private, well, why would you do a private, you know, broadcast? The only reason you would do a private broadcast is if it's a business thing and you only want your business people on it.
Yep.
Or if you're charging money for it. Otherwise, why else would you do it? Right. So, so it'd be really, really interesting to see what happens on that front. But I can tell you that from just watching our numbers in the show that I do with Alex Mondosian, my business partner on the Push Button Influence front, our numbers have been steadily bumping up every time that we're doing a blab show. So it's pretty cool, man. I just like all the new technology stuff, and I know you're really, really big on that.
Well,
so,
it's fun because you can measure it, the metrics, and you can just do subtle tweaks, and the next show you do can be much more successful.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you think about technology and how technology has changed over the years, one of the things that's really changed and plays in Barack Obama really was the first one to really take advantage of this shift of how technology is leveraged from a donation standpoint. Did you follow anything as far as where Bernie Sanders is at with money? Have you seen that? Have you seen any of that?
Oh, yeah. I typed into the blab yesterday.
Right.
Because you were talking about Kiva and donating for
– right.
And Bernie Sanders' average donation is $27.
$27.
And he's doing all this.
Yeah, and it
shows how fast it adds up.
And it adds up super quick, but it's interesting because as technology becomes more sort of democratized, right, and we give more people the access to the masses, that's when some really interesting things happen as well. Because, like, you can look at the whole sort of crowdfunding front. I don't know if you followed this or not, but on the crowdfunding front, they recently passed a bill, like the government, the feds passed a bill that basically says you don't have to be an accredited investor anymore to throw money into companies. That's a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, that opens up trillions of dollars to companies that, frankly, probably weren't able to raise any money in the true public professional arena. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm wondering, isn't Kickstarter a crowdfunding?
Totally.
And so anyone could contribute to a fund there.
Yes, but here's the distinction. So in a crowdfunding campaign, you are ostensibly buying a product, right? So you're buying, let's say, a book, and then you're buying like a consulting gig or something like that based on different levels. So $5 gets you the book, $25 gets you the book plus a consulting gig, $100 gets you
on the show.
Right, exactly. Whatever it might be. And so it's this cute little one-off kind of thing where I'm helping to fund
that
your endeavor.
Person's endeavor, right.
But here's what happens. So that line is drawn. I give you the money, you give me the product, right? Like Coolest Cooler, right? Biggest campaign, I think, in the history of Kickstarter, whatever
that.
It was, $13 million or something just, I mean.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. Huge money.
I remember that one.
And when you supported their campaign, what you were really doing was you were supporting the purchase.
Right, it was more of a pre-order.
It was a pre-order,
yeah.
Right? So you were it's exactly what I did for my marijuana refrigerator kind of thingy. I bought this thing. It's super cool. Like, literally, there's like this, you know how like you had those wine cooler and like it's kind of that size, but like literally it's an indoor, what do you call that thing? The greenhouse. It's sort of like a
humidor. No, whatever. Yeah.
You have like these little, it's so cool. They give you the seeds and then you have like these little cartridges. Put in the cartridges. Cartridges then give it the nutrition, the nutrients that it needs. It's on this automatic sort of like watering schedule.
Oh, and so it's like those little herb gardens?
Yeah, exactly. Except it's specifically.
No pun intended.
Yeah, there's one called the Counter Crop I interviewed, and they did a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And you grow a garden on your counter.
Wow.
And they have the whole lighting system underneath. So it's like that for pot.
Yeah, it's exactly like that for pot, except it's a little refrigerator you can hide in the garage and no one will be the wiser because it's not on your counter, like just spreading out all the way. Mommy, what?
But your kids do know. They see everything.
You know what? I love my kids, but they have no clue. I love
really?
My kids. They have no clue. I smoke every night and they still have no clue. They're like, do you smell something? Nope. I don't smell anything at all. All right, but before I forget, so the crowdfunding.
That's hilarious.
Right? So the whole crowdfunding thing is different than this legislation because ultimately you are basically pre-ordering, right? You're pre-ordering whatever that product is. You get that product, your money's gone. In this new world, what ends up happening is you're actually buying a piece of the company. So you have an ownership position, which is a whole other game.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's basically opening up the playing field for all of the individual folks out there, the individual investors who have all this money tied up to be able to throw it at new companies. So that's pretty darn cool. I'm loving on that.
That's awesome information.
It is. All right.
Thanks.
We're going to have Ted McGrath on. This will be really, really interesting here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. I love technology stuff. I really do. And we were just talking about Periscope over the break, and we're broadcasting live on Periscope today. So very
on
cool
whose
on
name,
that.
Though?
Probably under Rich. We're just giving Rich all the credit in the world here, which is very cool. That's why you're here, man. We love you. We want to give you credit for all your magic. All right, let's bring Mr. Ted McGrath up, because I believe he has joined us. And based on what this gentleman bills per hour, he's doing us a solid here by being on. What's up, my man?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Doing really, really good, man. By the way, when... you've got a fan here at Reinvention Radio. When we brought up the website, we brought up the – no, we can't. No. Let's just say that your headshot went over well at Reinvention Radio land. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, he's talking about me, Ted. I just saw your picture. I'm like, whoa. That works.
I think he's cute, too, but I'm not going to do anything about it, but I think he's cute.
Hey, you ran off in the bathroom for a few minutes after. I don't know what happened to you, man, but glad to have you back in the studio. All right, so Ted, have you recovered from that golf whooping yesterday? Are you all good, man? You guys in check?
Don't let him talk smack to you.
Whooping, man! Come on, dude.
Right.
We are all stars.
Yeah, man. All right. So for those that don't know you, Ted, I know you, man, and I could go on for days about the brilliance of Ted McGrath, but rather than, because then it would seem like kind of, like it's all about me. It's not about me. It's about you, Ted. So why don't you tell us a little bit about, where you're coming from, what people might know you best for, and just really what you're rocking right now in 2016.
People probably know me best for Message to Millions, which is, helping people find their life story and their message and then teaching them how to share it with people so they can, make money doing it and impact people. So that's what I'm doing. And, I have a coaching business, I have a speaking business, and I'm also a performer with my theater show, too. So that's what I'm up to.
Yeah, very, very. I mean, and this whole thing around, Good Enough, right, which is the name of the one-man show. By the way, Mary, you would dig this. Ted, for not just because of Ted, but just because of the entertainment value and his story. Ted, take us back through. You've had some really tough times, man, and you kind of gloss over that. If somebody meets you today, you're not really one to just kind of say, hey, this is what I went through and, you know, here's where I am now. You're pretty humble about all that stuff. But there's a lot of folks out there who don't know the trials and the tribulations that you had to endure to get to where you are now. Take us back through some of the early stuff that, frankly, helped forge, you know, the man that you are now. But I'm sure at the time it was some pretty dark spots for you.
Yeah, so just briefly on it, I mean, the show I created, Good Enough, has been my journey in life of not feeling good enough. And as a kid, you know, a lot of kids go through this, but when my parents got divorced, I just made the decision that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't feel loved. And so I became this little achiever, just trying to always achieve to please everybody. And when I got in the professional world, you know, at New York Life when I was 21, I started in the insurance company and my mentor said, hey, you know, you can do six figures in this business. And I put my head down and went after it. But it wasn't about the money for me. It was about approval. Mm-hmm. And so I cracked six figures and found myself overdosed on, you know, cocaine, bag of ecstasy, and, you know, 15 drinks on the kitchen floor that night, literally, and my soul coming out of my body. So that was a wake up for me, you know, and you've heard this story before.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
But others haven't. So was that a defining moment for you, man, where you were literally like on the floor and just saying, I've probably got two ways to go with this. You know, this is like the fork in the road, man. One is just going to be literally I'm going to end up dead in under a year, or I'm going to really do what I was put here to do and impact those who need me most. Was it that sort of moment for you?
You know, it was a weird moment. My brother was there. Looking up into his eyes, and I could feel my soul coming out of the top of my head. And you'd think it was like, well, I promise, if you keep me here, I'll do good with my life. But it was literally like shame, like how embarrassing this would be. It's kind of weird, but the shame went through my head of like, God, I would embarrass my family, and if I died, and if I went to the hospital, like, so I had this weird moment of just shame and embarrassment in my last moments of what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I was revived, and you know, you think you get the lesson, but I didn't fully get the lesson. I stopped doing drugs, but I figured if I made partner with the company and I worked really hard and I got status and power, life would change. And I did. I became one of the top partners for the company, but it didn't work. So
yeah. And so at what point did you decide that the money wasn't going to do it for you? And, you know, you were making some pretty good money there, man. But that at the end of the day, it almost was your downfall, the fact that you were making so much money, especially at a young age. And when you're young and you've got all that access to money, you start doing some pretty, you know, let's just say some things you might not do today in that same position. But how hard was it for you to turn your back on the money?
You know, it was easy because the pain was so big, you know, and I was still so green. I was 28, but the pain was there. And, you know, I did drugs because it keyed me out. It was like I could get out of my head, you know, and sex was the same way. You know, I was with prostitutes. And so I was just in a path of just destruction. If I didn't leave, I probably would have died, you know, and gone through another episode. So, you know, I left thinking that would be the solution. But, you know, I became an entrepreneur, and I had money when I left. But building my business, I thought, oh, I've always made money. I'll make money. I'll build something. Mm-hmm. And I built up two companies, and then, you know, I lost all my money. My houses went into foreclosure. And then I was like, oh, what am I going to do from ground zero? Like, no money. What am I going to do? And then I was like, I might as well do something I love. I have nothing at this point. Might as well go do something I love, right? So that's when I decided that I had some business skills and coaching skills and that I wanted to help people. And so I just started to do that. And I went on a massive spiritual journey and all that as well along the way. That's what helped me, you know, move through everything and stop drinking and really just come into a place of power with myself. But it took a while.
Yeah. So take us back through what that actually means and in terms of the spiritual journey, because a lot of people talk about that. Was that for you, like, discovering, I don't know, Buddhism, or was it like going back to church or just going right. And, you know, meditating on the Mount Kilimanjaro or wherever that thingy is?
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
It was a search, man. It was, you know, the meditation thing first started when I came out to San Diego with Deepak. And, you know, so I started with that, and that made me feel better. But it was like, you know, how do you go live your day? Like, I could feel good for an hour afterwards, and I attract things into my life. Like, you know, I wound up on Deepak's stage speaking in front of 500 people, and just out of a fluke, you know, I found myself on conversations with people like Tony Robbins. And so I was able to attract stuff through that, but I still I still felt like very unworthy of, you know, holding on to money, unworthy of getting paid for my gift.
Yep.
And so I kept searching. I kept searching meditation. I went to India and did energy work. I studied with a scientist for years. You know, I tried all this stuff, but nothing like fully like helped me really integrate my power and like get back to who I know I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that came later on in life for me. But it was about 5, 6, 7 year spiritual search, and I made progress. I just didn't dissolve and get rid of all the stuff that was had me blocked in and barriered in like I am now today. Like, you know me, you've seen the changes in me. I mean, I'm fully in my power today. I'm just fully stepping into it. So the future is extraordinary.
Yep. So let me ask you this, because there are a lot of people out there who have the same desire to help people, but you and I and lots of others, especially in this world, still kind of feel like, you know, we're living this, maybe I shouldn't speak for you, but it sounds like you experienced something similar, which is what it's affectionately called the imposter syndrome, right? Where like you have this, you have all this success and you have these wonderful things going on, but you, in your back of your mind, you're just like, this is not, I don't deserve this. This is not me. This is the, somebody's going to find me out. So did that kind of, was that playing at the forefront of your mind at all in terms of having sort of what, again, what they call the imposter syndrome?
Yeah, I mean, especially when I first started, right? You know, you think freedom is like, as I became a speaker and I was up in front of audiences, you think, well, that, I'm going to be free because I can go speak and I'm living my passion. And, you know, living to one's passion is not freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be just as trapped in living your passion as you are in a career that you don't like. I mean, living my passion was just as much suffering because I hadn't changed as a spiritual being. I hadn't gotten in touch with who I really am. And so that was like, you know, you build something and then you run and you struggle to catch up to what you built. And so you play catch up. And then, you know, it was like, okay, trying to make everybody happy. And then, you know, still wasting and burning my money, even when I was having success. And, you know, so it was that imposter syndrome, as you call it. Yeah. You feel like, shit, what am I doing? You know, well, I'm not supposed to say it on the radio, but you feel like, what am I doing? Right.
So, you're fine. I hear.
You know?
Trust us. You're fine with saying that.
Yeah. So now I'm in a place that I'm free and I've never been like this. And it took me 36 and a half years or 37 years or so to feel free without drugs, without that moment of success where you feel free in a moment, but not in all the other moments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we're coming up on a break in 30 seconds, but I did want, it sounds like there was an incongruence from the interior of who you are to the exterior of what you were showing the world. And then that's what you said you kind of caught up to match those two together.
Yeah, there's a lot, you know, the incongruence, I could share lots of stuff, but yes, there's like lots of components of that, of incongruence. And that's the way I'm living in my relationships, the way I'm living in just my thoughts, the way I'm living in my own reality, you know? And so part of telling my story, the show Good Enough, was to literally, you know, bear everything from my life, transparency on everything that was going on.
Yep. All right. So let's do this. Let's talk a little bit more about that incongruence and so on here on Reinvention Radio with Ted McGrath right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio with your host, Steve Ulscher, along with Mary Colay.
I'm here.
And number two, Taya Whiteway is walking around somewhere, and producer extraordinaire Kelly Polker is, I assume, listening and going, what the hell are they talking about today? Because that's pretty much the text I always get from Kelly. Like,
no, we've been on track.
We've been on track. All right, so I haven't seen the text yet. That's why I don't even look at my phone anymore.
I don't even.
Actually, yeah. I gave my phone to Rich. So Rich has my phone altogether right
He's
now.
Emptied your bank
account.
I'm on accounts.
Tinder right now.
Well, thank you for that. As long as it's not Grindr, I'm fine with it. All right, so question of the moment is, we've got Ted McGrath on, and we were talking a little about sort of this whole imposter syndrome. We were talking about incongruency and whatnot. Ted, you are, I mean, Jiminy, it's like you are one of the highest paid consultants in the industries. Folks pay you, I mean, up to $200,000 a year to work with you. When did you turn the corner? You were just like, I mean, you're just like, yeah, you know, I think I'm over this whole like incongruence imposter thing. Go ahead and write me a check. How did you turn the corner on it?
You know, I think with consulting and coaching and what we do, and, you know, people are looking for a better life. You call it what's your what? What is your what? You know, I talk about you have a life story, you have life lessons, you have a message to share with people. And I believe everybody has that. And so, you know, my job is to help them pull out that story, pull out that message, and then help them, like, find out what are the lessons, what are the things I've learned in my life that I can share with others. So, you know, you get a financial advisor that is selling, you know, products to people, but would rather teach about financial advice and would rather coach people and also would rather talk about real life rather than just finances. It's a portion of life, but what's somebody's vision? What's their goals? What's the things that are most important to them? And so, you know, we live in a world, I think, where most people focus on products and they focus on the service and they think that's the value of the world. But mm-hmm. I think the greatest value in the world is helping somebody see a bigger future on who they're going to become. And that's what I sell. I sell a bigger future and I sell a becoming for a human being. Who do they want to become in their life? In every area of their life, and people are willing to invest a lot of money for that. If I just said, let me sell you some business coaching, people aren't going to pay for that at that level. Mm-hmm. But if I say, let me share with you something that's going to change your life, your whole lifestyle, your whole relationship with your family, your whole purpose, your whole vision, your whole passion, who you're going to become, who you know yourself to be, and who you know your potential to be, you know, people will invest in who they're going to become in a big level.
Yeah. And do you honestly believe that everyone has that gift or a calling or a message to share? I mean, do you think that everyone has sort of that unique ability and most people just don't tap into it? Or is it just that, you know, there are some folks who just, you know, will do the 9 to 5 and they're fine with it and they do their thing and that's just the way that they are wired? So, in other words, do you believe that everybody is wired to have that something amazing, that calling, that gift, you know, as you call it, it's the... It's really about being good enough. It's about transforming people. It's about having that message to share.
Yeah, I think everybody has it. I think the parents who are sharing a message every day with the child, like, that's priceless. So, you know, the parent may not say, I want to go teach parenting, but they're sharing a message. I think every day we're sharing a message. I think, you know, every day our values and who we are and what we speak to the world, I think it's so important. And I think a lot of people today are walking around. We live in a society that doesn't live by that to most of what I see in the world, but there are a lot of people that do. And so I think those people that do and have a higher calling and have gotten out of what I feel is the trap of, like, I got to get more money, more power, more status for guys, more women, more this, more that. You know, it's like when you get out of that space, it's like, okay, well, what is there to life? Like, I want to help my fellow man or my fellow woman. I want to play a game where everybody wins. I want to do something that not just serves me, but serves my relationships, my group, my mankind, and all of humanity. And I think when people get out of the trap, I think they have a sense that they're here for something bigger. But I think most people stay stuck in the trap. So do they all have it within them? Yes. The question is, will they activate it in this lifetime? Who knows?
Yeah. And I've written a book, and one of my tenets in it is that everyone has a mission. That mission has a purpose. That purpose is fueled by passion and executed through service. And I think once that spark is lit to that, what is my purpose for being here, or my mission, and I want to be of service, once that gets going, there's no stopping it. You have to answer it. You have to follow it. You have to figure it out, and your life will forever be changed, no matter how slowly or quickly you make that happen. And some people
love it.
Have it on some subtle level, and they're just not in enough pain to go, it's not just my coworkers I don't like. It's not just this job that I really don't like doing. There's something else that's bothering me.
We're sitting right here, Mary. We can hear you.
It's not just you guys I don't like. It's, you know, I like Wade.
You like Wade. So let's ask you this then. How do you tap into that? I mean, as you mentioned, I've got the whole what is your what sort of, whatever you want to call it. I've got that whole process, right? That whole framework. But how do you help people tap into then what their message is?
For me, I share my story. So, I do a show 90 minutes, and 3 years ago, I said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do a theater show. And so before somebody ever comes to my seminar, before if they hear something from me online, they hear my story. And just through sharing my story, they may go, yeah, he's a speaker, he's this, he's that. But my vulnerability, they go, here's what I went through in my life. And I have 90 minutes, like when somebody comes into a seminar room, they come spend 4 days. I have people from all over the world to come in. And so I share my story for 90 minutes. And just through sharing that story, there's a shift that takes place in somebody's life where I believe if they go, wow, I can now communicate on that. Because I believe the prison we create is not communicating on something. So when I was a kid and I had these sexual experiences with a young boy, and then I was 9, he was 9, and a girl who was 14 and I was 9, I had carried so much shame around that, and for 30 years I didn't talk about it. And so the moment I started communicating on it, I was free. And so when I talk about that stuff in a room, it's not for me to relive it. It's not for me to rehash something I went through. It's for me to literally share it, and then people come up and they go, oh my God, well, I was addicted to drugs, or oh my God, I had that experience around sex when I was a kid, or oh my God, I had this. And the very communication and realization that you don't need to carry shame, you don't need to carry this, you can speak freely on it, starts to free people up to communicate. Mm-hmm. And I think communication is freedom.
So even if the people in your audience do not share their story with you over the 4 days, it still gives them permission to forgive themselves. And then when we get rid of all that crap on top of us that we've been carrying around, trying to stuff down that shame, once that's released, then I think something happens that the universe or God, something happens that gives them sparks of this is what you've been suppressing as well. This creative, passionate, awesome side of you that can be expressed this lifetime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to give people permission, because people are waiting for somebody else to speak up and say something because they feel like they can't share their voice at times. And I'm just a voice to say, here's my story and here's my message, and I believe other people have it. And if we start sharing, it's part of helping the world.
It's also one of those things that they say, man, I'm not as effed up as that guy. I can go do anything I want.
They have said that before. That's right.
Damn, my life is great. Oh, man. I'm going to pay Ted just to go to the show every 6 months or whatever so I can keep being reminded of how great my life is. Damn, that dude is fucked up. So I'm not trying to go like 2 steps forward and 3 steps back here, but Rich, on the break, you were telling me that you actually heard a story about Ted that Ted obviously had shared at some point. What was that story that you heard Ted share that we didn't cover here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that doesn't quite want to ask it, but I can guess that it has to do with not good enough. And it was the story you were mentioning when your parents were getting divorced and you were a kid. And I believe it was your father came in to tell you about it. And I don't want to give it up, but you want to tell that piece?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. So if you're in the show, if you watch it, the end of it, it comes to it reconciles at the end. But what I heard was, I don't love you. So as a kid, when my dad came in at 6 years old, it was like, I don't love you. And so it was like the difference between actually what he said and actually what I heard were two different things, right? But yeah, that was in the show. There's been multiple variations of it, but that was part of the show, yeah.
Yep. So, and what does it mean then? Because obviously there's a lot of discussion around transformation. As you look at that word and as you look at that word personified, what do you think it means to really transform your life?
Well, hey, man, here's the thing. I'm a Scientologist, and I have been for the last 3 to 4 years.
Say hi to Tom, by the way, for us, please. And we'd love to have Tom on Reinvention Radio. That'd be great.
So So, you know, I've been through the journey of many different things. You know, I think there's multiple ways for people to find whatever it is they're looking for, and there's different gradients and stuff. You know, I'm here, and it's been such a difference in my life going through processes here. And so for whatever it is somebody goes through and whatever their beliefs are, I think most importantly, it's like somebody knowing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's so many ways to discover that today. I just find, I feel this is the way for me, and I know who I am. And so that knowingness, there's a freedom in that. And I also know and understand, you know, why I've behaved in a certain way. And, you know, people today think, well, hey, you know, it's like, every, you know, there's this story, if it goes back to when you're 6 years old and divorced, that's such a small part of it in the grand spectrum
yeah.
of really, you know, my beliefs on it, and that there's many lifetimes that I've lived.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at today, like, I had such a small frame of my life. One was being totally unaware of it having to do anything with childhood. Then I became aware of childhood, and I thought that was the answer. And I realized I was so far from the spectrum of what...
Yeah. I hear you, man. So let's continue the conversation here with Ted McGrath right after this break, as we got to go to break, because otherwise Wade gets really mad at us. So we'll be right back here on Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We're talking today to Mr. Ted McGrath. And by the way, for all of you who have been subscribing and rating and reviewing the podcast, thank you very much for that. And the charts reflect that. So very, very cool. And here's what I'm going to offer to you. If you rate and review and subscribe to the podcast this week, which, of course, I'm just going to sit here and say this week, because you could be listening to this podcast anytime.
In 3 months, yeah.
It could be anything. It could be 2019 at this point. But if you subscribe and rate and review the podcast this week, send an email to kelly@steveolscher.com and let Kelly know that you did it. And we got a little special something for you. And I have no idea what it is yet, but we're gonna figure something out here.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't get that yet. And you did. You rated and reviewed and subscribed to the podcast, which is so cool because it's your show and that's awesome.
Well,
it is.
I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it for the whole.
Just helping a cause. You're just part of the bigger.
Yes.
Part of the bigger. All right. So we got Ted on. And by the way, Ted, before we run out of time here, which seems to always happen as we turn the corner on the end of the show here, which is amazing how quickly time flies, but where's the best place for people to find out more information about what you're doing?
Well, you can just go to TedMcGrathBrand.com. So it's Ted, T-E-D, McGrath, M-C-G-R-A-T-H, brands, like B-R-A-N-D-S. So TedMcGrathBrand.com.
Okay, so you do a lot of different things, man, in terms of helping your clients. What's the single, of all the stuff that you do for your clients, what's your favorite part of it all? Is it the speaking side? Is it the business side? What's your favorite part of the assistance that you provide for your private clients?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking before when we were on a break about you, and I go, you know, you're
that's
one,
funny because
like, wow,
I was thinking about you last night too, Ted. Thank you for that.
Thanks,
another bromance.
Right? Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, your whole thing is what is your what? Like, you're really good. You're really great on radio. You're awesome, man. It's fun to be on with you. You're super witty. I played golf with you the other day, and you're the same. You know, you're witty on the golf course too. So
you should see the look that Mary is giving me right now. Thank you for that. But it's I'll never hear the end of this. But thank you for that. Now I appreciate it. But
welcome.
No. Don't stop. Keep going. So you were thinking about all the wonderful things that I'm doing and how witty and please keep going.
Exactly. And so you have what is your what as part of your message, and but you're doing a lot of different things too. And so, you know, I found the more as I've gotten deeper into what I'm doing, initially I was like, oh, it's speaking, and I did speaking, and I still do it. And then I was like, oh, I'm a performer, and I created my theater show. And then I go, oh, it's like internet marketing. So, you know, all these things that I do, I think my favorite part about working with my clients and helping them is going, you know, I don't just believe in one passion. I used to. I thought it was like, you find your one thing and life is great. I believe in many passions. I believe I have many capabilities. And so I just want to help clients unleash the many capabilities that they have in life so they can have an enriching life. And that could be, you know, speaking, coaching, it could be so many different things, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, I have just as much fun on the golf course as I do, like, spending time on my passion, you know? Because it's fun.
Yeah, no, I hear you loud and clear on that, man. So take us through, because obviously you help transform people's lives, whether it's in their personal life or in their business or a combination thereof, and it usually is a combination thereof. Tell us one of your favorite stories of transformation of one of your private clients. Where were they when they came to you? And where are they now?
I mean, I'll take probably one of my favorite shifts is, like, I think this is cool, and there's multiple, but there's one of my clients, Brandon, who, you know, he's a pastor, and or he was a pastor. And so I think, like, somebody who's already called, right, he's called to a message and he wants to serve. So he's already in service and he's doing his thing. And that's what I find with a lot of people. Like, you know, most people are in service in some way with their gift, but they don't get paid for it, or they don't get paid what they really want so they can make it a career. Or they're not getting paid what they want so they can have multiple passions and really, like, have a lifestyle that's beautiful. So for Brandon, when he came to me, he's a pastor, and we just decided, hey, like, let's switch the vehicle. Like, let's switch the vehicle. It's time for a new message. Mm-hmm. It can stay in alignment with your spiritual beliefs, but switch the vehicle. And so he switched the vehicle, and, you know, I met him 18 months ago or so, and, you know, he's able to start up his seminar business, and now he's, you know, made $1 million in the last 18 months. And
wow.
And so he's moved from Texas to San Diego, and now he, you know, he spends more time with his kids, and he's, you know, he's on the you know, country club out there, and they just moved into a new house. And so, like, his whole dynamic has changed. And so somebody like that, who already has the gift, it's inside him, but he always says to me, you know, the perspective you gave me, what I thought was going to be maybe like $20,000, you know, we 20 times what we thought we were going to do. So that's a great story, because it's a story of possibility, you know?
Yeah. And it's also a story of confidence. And I think you were speaking to that sort of indirectly earlier, that once you have the confidence in yourself and you sort of remove yourself from the imposter syndrome that a lot of us carry, that's when the magic really can happen. Now, I can picture his face, but I can't think of his name for the life of me. You have a private client, the kid who
Brandon
stutters.
Hawk.
No. That's that. We just talked about Brandon.
Alex Moscow.
That's
another one of my favorites, yeah. Too. I mean, he has a stutter,
it's a serious stutter. I mean, like, literally. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun, but I mean, like, you sit there in front of him, and it's he has a very strong stutter, and you were able to help him. Obviously the stutter didn't go away, but the confidence grew. And just kind of take us through where he was when you met him, and now where he is.
Well, he's like my little brother. I mean, he started off as an entrepreneur, you know, and he came from college, and, you know, he was selling drugs in college and got caught. And, you know, all that stuff stems from, I think, you know, looking for attention, trying to find ways to do whatever, right? So he's been dealing with this speech impediment. And so when I met him, yeah, a stutter, right? Like, he'll bang his hands because he can't get the words out. It's that tough sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an entrepreneur already. Then I said, come work with me. And they trained with me for 2 years, 3 years in my company. And the first thing I did was put him on the phone to sell. And I just, like, put him on the phone. I put him on 600 phone calls over the course of several years.
Mm.
So he learned to communicate in a way with people, learn to move past the stutter. It got better and better. And then, you know, the more he stepped into, like, being more authentically him, you know, he's leading seminars, and he's up in the front of the room for 2 days straight with,
wow,
you know, 12, 14 people in the room. And he's made about $500,000 in the last 9 months in leading workshops. And here's a 26-year-old kid. So some of us wake up in the morning and go, okay, like, you know, we have different issues. He wakes up in the morning and goes, am I going to be able to get the words out? That's a different game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty darn amazing. So how do you, if you could offer one tip to somebody who wants to tap into that courage, what is like one practical thing that they could do tomorrow or even after they listen to the, what's one practical thing that they could do to really tap into that courage so that they can share their message with those who need it most?
Well, I think you go look at your life story. It's like what I did with Alex. It's like, look at your life story, go to the pit. Like a great story has a pit. Like mine's on the kitchen floor overdosing from drugs. Alex's is, you know, he's a kid and he's, you know, they're playing who stole the cookie from the cookie jar at 6 years old. It comes to him, he can't say his name, you know? Mm-hmm. So like everybody's got a pit moment that most people don't talk about. And I found that by taking people into the pit, just go look at your life story. What's the pit?
Yeah.
Start sharing it. Start communicating on it to people. It doesn't mean you need to be a coach or a speaker or anything. Like I told my parents, like when I was a kid, when this happened, you were great parents. So I love you. You've done so much for me, but I didn't feel love because I was incapable of feeling it because of the choices that I made in my head.
Yeah.
So those conversations, like I didn't have those conversations so I could go and say, let me tell this to my audience. It'd be cool. I had those conversations to be free. So I just say, look at the pit, start communicating with the people you love about your pit.
Yeah.
And they can be the most transformational moment in just communicating about it.
Yeah. That's awesome advice. All right. So TedMcGrathBrands.com. Again, that's TedMcGrathBrands.com. Ted, thank you so much for joining us, dude. Really, really appreciate you being here on Reinvention Radio today. Ugh, Mary, pretty amazing.
Thank you for having such a cute face.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. All right. So let's do this. All right, let's wrap this one up here on Reinvention Radio. Awesome interview there with Ted McGrath. Definitely check out all the amazing things that he's doing and be sure to tune in to all of our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. We will talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care, guys.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.